Good evening, everyone. Welcome to those that are here with us in this room this evening, and welcome to those who are watching online. We're glad that you're with us this evening, and the Lord blessed us this morning. The reality is that God has all power and authority. The reality is that he cares about us, and because he has all power and authority, no one can be against us. If the one who has all power is for us, how can anyone be against us? So be prepared to be encouraged and strengthened tonight as we move through the service. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here tonight. We're grateful that you have granted us life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful to hear those footsteps of the Lord Jesus coming closer and closer for the time when we will meet him. We're grateful that soon all things will be wound up and will be with you forevermore. You are mighty, victorious, you are sovereign, you are mortal, you have all power, you have all wisdom, you have all might, and we come and we worship you tonight. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might see something of your glories and that our worship might be worthy of your name. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation in chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 7 to 13. David's been doing a series in the churches on Revelation, and we're up to the church in Philadelphia. So that's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write him on him my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen.
Indeed, it's a beautiful song. We should sing it more often. Wonderful words. Labor on in weakness. We got a double mic, am I right? Cool. Well, if you'd be turning, please, to Revelation chapter 3, as Pastor read out that text there, the good church to be in at the time, Philadelphia, and only the two churches in all of those seven that did not receive rebuke. There was Smyrna, the persecuted church, and the faithful church, as it's known here in this text in Philadelphia. But it's all of Christ. Anything we have, any goodness, any measure of faith, any gift, any goodness, any rejoicing, any love, it's all of Christ. For in me, that is in my flesh, Paul says, there dwells no good thing. So why don't we come to a time of prayer and we seek the Lord together. Father, we thank you for this meeting tonight. Thank you that it's a supernatural meeting because you are present by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that in us, though there is no strength, no goodness, Lord, even though there is little of anything, all that is given to us freely from above, we want to claim tonight. We want to receive your blessings, Lord, your life in us. You've come to give life and life in more abundance, Lord. And you are that abundance when we seek you, O Lord, everything that you are, who you are as a person, Lord, we receive you. We receive life eternal and all that you are, Lord. Help us through this life to be dependent on you, to be living for you daily, to be crying to you. And Lord, may our strength alone be in Christ alone. Lord, bless the word of God to us tonight. Open it to us. As Pastor said this morning, Lord, it is your fingerprint, Lord. It is your life. And so we pray that by your Spirit, you would take it and you would apply to each heart the way only you can apply it. Help me, Lord, as your vessel tonight. You have chosen me to be here tonight. Lord, in my weakness and in my lack and in my imperfection, you've caused me to stand tonight. Help me, Lord, lest I fall. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's such a rich text tonight that was read out. It's very hard to encapsulate it in one meeting and in one evening. But as I said, this is one of the two churches in Revelation that is not rebuked, but receives encouragement and blessing upon blessing. As we're going through this series monthly, we're up to Philadelphia, the sixth church. And it's a good place to be, where this church was. Little strength, and yet the Lord commends them. He knew their work. They have kept his word. They did not deny his name. Even though in this city, Philadelphia, this city that stood between Rome and the eastern world, it was a place full of idols. It was a place full of idolatry, pagan worship, many gods. Yet this little church, remained faithful to Jesus. They had little strength, as Jesus mentioned. They also faced persecution, as in verse 9 we see, from the Jews. But they stand firm and they resist. And despite weakness and despite opposition, they trust Christ's word. They remain faithful to him. So I pray tonight, as we look into this text, that we can be encouraged and strengthened and blessed through the word of God. And my sermon in a sentence is this: dependence on Christ alone leads to great reward. Dependence on Christ alone, our source of strength, it leads to great reward. And we're going to look at Christ as he presents himself to the church, his word to the church, and also the rewards that he speaks of to the church. And so here in verse 7, we see that Christ is introduced as one who is holy. And if there is ever one attribute that we can never exhaust in preaching, is the attribute of Christ's holiness. He is holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. He is set apart. He is separate. There is none like him. All the gods of the earth are idols. There is no one like him. He's totally separate. He's totally different. Nothing comes close. In fact, if you just turn back a page to Revelation 1 and you see how John saw him in Revelation 1:12, we read that when John turns to see the voice that spoke with him, having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And here in verse 13, in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his mouth as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." Amen, he is alive. Amen, he is the first and the last. He has the keys of Hades and of death. Eternal life is in his hand. It says here that his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And I don't know if you were ever as foolish as me in the school playground in trying to look into the sun with the other kids and trying to see who can squint and look as long as possible. Not a good move, not highly recommended. But you see, as the sun shining in its strength, how holy is he? His eyes were like a flame of fire. It says his feet like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. And today's modern Jesus is portrayed as a social Jesus, as one who will just give you what you want and what you please. This is not Christ. This is not the God of the Bible. And this church, in the midst of idolatry, they could have succumbed to that which was around them and given in, because the same message from that pagan world is pressing in, even in our culture. It's pressing in and wanting to have us in its mold. But no, Christ is separate. He's separate from sinners. In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." You cannot bring him into your own image and likeness. You cannot bring Christ and add and mix idolatry in the world. And no, he is separate. He is separate. It's like that light. In him there is no darkness at all. He is holy. Holy, holy, holy. You know, when radiant light is present, the shadows flee. Radiant light cannot be argued with. It cannot be argued with. When Isaiah saw him in his holiness, what did he say? He fell down saying, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." And that was John's revelation as well. He fell down as dead. And when Peter saw him in the boat and saw the miracle of the fish, what did he say? He said, "Depart from me, Lord. Away from me." He is different. He is different. He is holy, holy, holy. Hebrews 7:26 sums it up so well in this one verse. It says that for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. It's amazing, isn't it? Separate from sinners and has become higher than the heavens. The Lord Jesus had no issue going to sinners' homes. He had no issue drinking and eating with anyone that he chose to go into their presence with. And yet they called him a drunkard and a wine bibber and a glutton. And you see, yet he was separate from sinners. You can be in the world and not of the world. You can be in and amongst a group of people and yet you can shine like a light. You do not have to do what they do. And this church stood apart in their little strength. They were different. They were set apart from him. It's a wonderful text, Hebrews 7:26. Such a high priest who identified with us, who died for us, who went behind the veil. No one else could have done it, and brought us back to him. He's the one. When he died on the cross, the temple, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. He's the one that's given us access. He who is holy and harmless and undefiled. Holy, holy, holy. He is separate from sinners. And yet in that text in Revelation 1, what does he do? He places his hand and says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first. I am the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." It just sums up Christ so much. You don't need to preach a different Jesus. This is Christ. This is the God of the Bible. He does not tolerate sin. He does not tolerate mankind in their sin. He draws them to himself. You cannot coexist. Darkness and light cannot coexist. But if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you confess and you believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can be saved. You can be made holy. You can be in Christ and seen as holy. Amazing promise. Amazing promise. So here we see in Revelation 3 that he is holy, and we also see that he is true. He is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is that very pure element of truth. Everything else is diluted Everything else is not that pure element. He is the purest element. He is truth. He said, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, I was dead, and I am alive forevermore. He is alive. He lives. No other prophet, priest, or king, no any other religion can claim this. He is alive. You are the same, the psalmist writes, and your years will not come to an end. Psalm 102:27. Malachi 3:6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. He is true and an unchanging truth. As Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other message. You must come through this one. You must come through the one who is holy and the one who is true. And the other churches were in error. The other churches were dead, dying, and compromising. But this one church is commended. Along with the persecuted church, they were commended. They had little strength, yet they held fast to what they knew was right. You might have little strength in your circle of acquaintance, in your family, in your community, in your school, in your workplace. You may be the odd one out. You may be the only one. But stand true. Stand true. You may be in the minority. In fact, you will be in the minority. But stand true. Stand true. Because if you hold the truth, once you have met with him who is true, there is no denying and disputing it. Even if the whole world were to turn against you, you have seen the one who is true. You have met the one who is pure and holy and who is light. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one that holds the keys, the key of David. He is the one who opens the door. No one can shut it. He shuts and no one can open it. And so as he speaks to this church, he says, I have set before you an open door to work within, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength that you've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Dear friends, Christ alone is the one who is true. To sum up that verse, verse 7, Jesus is holy and true, and he alone holds the key of eternity in his kingly hand. He alone, he is the one that dictates what happens. The world may think, we may think sometimes that somehow God's not in control of what's going on in planet Earth. God is in control. Jesus is on the throne. He is in control. And so he says to the church, I know your works. And so it switches from who Christ is to now a word to the church. And he says, see, I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it. You have a little strength. In their weakness, Christ is glorified. Does that sound familiar? When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul said, he said in the text that he also gloried in his infirmities. I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's not self-effort. This church, though they were weak, though they were small perhaps, yet they were strong because the one they trusted in was all-powerful. The one they trusted in, the one we trust in tonight, is the one who has won. He is the victor. There can be no disputing it. There can be no denying it. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And dear friend, if you have a little strength, and if I have a little strength, if we have but one talent, give it to God. Use it for God. Use it for God, all that you have. He calls us to give all that we have and all that we are. And observe in this verse, friends, in verse 8, Christ opens the door of blessing to his church. He opens the door. This church, though it's buffeted from within and without, though it's in a city filled with idolatry and filled with spiritual warfare, they are standing out as lights shining out in darkness. You know, when the light shines in a dark place, when a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, when a light is set on a lampstand It gives light to the whole house. And so this church, and may it be said of our testimony, it may be said of our church, that we are a light in this community. Praise God for this morning, and praise God for the conversations and the light and the love that could be shown. It will not be forgotten. It will not be forgotten. But there is warfare, dear friends. There is warfare indeed. In verse 9 it says, "I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." Dear friends, we are in a battleground. There is a battleground for truth. There are many who call themselves by the name of Christ, but yet are none of His. There are cults and sects and groups, you know, and they are all self-endurance cults. It's all about works, works, works. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Roman Catholic Church, they all sing about it. Of putting, you know, your strength in. Of putting your hand to the plow. It's all self-endurance. It's amazing. You listen to some of the documentaries of the Mormons coming to Christ, and they sing and they strive and they work, and there's so many disgruntled among them. Because it's all self-effort and human endurance. But they keep going. Because they are blinded. They are blinded, and they think that their self-effort will bring them to heaven. Dear friends, it is Christ alone. In weakness, this church understood it. In weakness, this church, though there were those around them, they were of the synagogue of Satan. They said they are Jews, they are not. They said they are of the truth. They are of the one true church. And yet they were not. But here we see the secret. Christ set His love upon His church. And the religions of the world, they've got to see that. Oh, don't we pray for them to see that? Don't we pray for them to see that? Because I have set my love upon you. I've set my love upon you. Oh, this is the difference. Christ's love, it's not works religion. It's Bible Christianity. You know, the flesh is more comfortable to work its way in. The flesh is more comfortable, that I can earn it. I can earn it, I can get it, I can grasp it, and I can say I've done it. But Christ calls us to fall at His feet and acknowledge that He alone is holy, that He alone is true, that He alone has the key of David, and He alone has the power to save. And so when the realization comes to any man, woman or child, oh, that's a blessed, blessed day when that realization comes. And so this church is commended that in their little strength, they've kept His word. They've not denied His name. Dear friend, tonight, do you keep His word? Do you not deny His name? Young person, do not deny His name, because one day, and now the blessings will start to flow in these next verses, one day the rewards will be yours. You may not see it, and you won't see it all immediately. You won't see it all, but piece by piece you'll see the windows of heaven opened. And look at the blessings that begin to flow. It says here that false religion will acknowledge that, yes, you are of the truth. You are in the truth, and you'll be vindicated. In verse 10 it says, because you've kept my command to persevere. Here again is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. If you're truly saved, you will endure to the end. And I'll keep you from the hour of trial and that test which will come upon the whole world. And here there's a text here that speaks of the pre-tribulation rapture as well. That there is this hour of trial coming upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. And this church will be kept from that hour. Oh, don't we want to be kept from that hour? But behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one takes your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Innumerable blessings start to flow. Innumerable blessings. We persevere, we endure by God's grace. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we see there the text that the church will go up to be with Christ before the coming tribulation. And so the church is exhorted and given blessings and promises for the afterlife. This is a motivator. This text ought to motivate us, to move us to worship of Him who alone is true. But there are scoffers. And as Pastor spoke on this morning, we are in times where there are scoffers. And 2 Peter 3 says that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. You can bank on it. Jesus' return is near, but there are those who will continue to say, where is the promise of His coming? Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That is so true around us. It is so true. I'm sure there's not a month that goes by that you don't actually perceive this in your workplace or place of education or in your society. There's just a blasé. There's just a... And you know, we are to persevere, because the next verse verse 8, it says, but beloved, do not be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. The same text, 2 Peter 3. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, when that ark was still open, God was pleading with man to repent and to walk through those doors to be saved. And today, the gospel is the means. The word of God is the means of salvation, the good news of the gospel. And as Noah was a preacher of righteousness, so each and every one of us in the church are called to be witnesses for Christ. We are all witnesses. We are all not because of our own righteousness, but we are all to be proclaimers of righteousness, of this truth, and of the good news of the gospel, to come in through the ark doors while there is time. And Christ, He is not slack. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But we live in a generation. We live in a day saying, where is Christ? Well, what is one life? What is 80 years to our Lord? It is but a blink. But a blink of an eye. But He is coming, and His reward is with Him. Verse 11 says, behold, I am coming quickly. This was written a few thousand years ago, and Christ said, behold, I am coming quickly. Yes. Yes, it is true. R.A. Torrey writes, he says, imminence as related to our Lord's return indicates uncertainty as to time, but possibility of nearness. Take ye heed, watch for, you know not when the time is. Mark 13:33. Such statements rebuke those who have brought the doctrine into disrepute by announcing dates for the end of the world and by setting times for the coming of Christ. And only cults have done that. And they've brought that text into disrepute, but it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the fact. Take heed, watch, for you know not when the time is. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Friend, He is coming quickly. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3:10, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will all be burnt up. It's amazing. Nothing on this earth lasts. Nothing on this earth lasts. Things fall to pieces in front of our eyes. Moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. There is nothing you can hang on to. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Dear friends, in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. May I exhort you tonight, hold fast what you have, walk in the fear of the Lord, and they will produce holy conduct and likeness to Christ. Look forward, look upward. He is coming. By God's grace, we await the rapture. We await His return. He will pluck us out to be with Him forever. For Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly wait for Him. And you know, it's the persecuted church today and the faithful church that are crying, come Lord Jesus, come. And particularly the persecuted. The church that are on their knees crying day in, day out. In the midst of persecution and of difficulty, they're crying, come Lord Jesus, come. Please. Because when they're in the church, they are in a safe place. They're in a place near to heaven. And when they step out those doors, they face persecution. They face ridicule. They face physical and mental tortures. And so, dear friends, let it not be that we who live in such luxury and such freedom want to ever step out these doors. Don't we want to be in God's presence? Oh, isn't it wonderful to sing? Isn't it wonderful? Wasn't it a joy to sing tonight and to sing this morning and to worship in the beauty of holiness? Isn't it wonderful to come to pray and to pray with like-minded believers through the week or whenever God allows that time? Oh, God, our God is coming again. He's coming quickly and our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly wait for Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready. Be waiting. Christ is our only hope in this world and the next. For Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. I did not try and line this sermon up with this morning. It just fell into place like that. It's the time that we're up to in this text. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Our text tonight reads. He shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. That is the church. And I will write on him my new name. Oh, dear friends, blessings immeasurable, blessings innumerable come to those who seek Christ and His kingdom first. So that sermon, in a sentence, dependence on Christ alone, though you are weak, though we may be small in number, in our community, in our workplace, wherever we may be, you may be the only Christian in your work. You may be the only Christian in your class, the only follower of Christ. Stand strong. Stand firm. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Be encouraged. Be encouraged for your dependence and your little strength in Christ alone leads to great reward. And we see some of those rewards on earth and we see the remainder when we see Him face to face. All of His promises are true. All prophecy will be fulfilled. There is not a jot or tittle that will pass. There will be nothing left undone. Dear friends, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Be encouraged tonight. I want to be part of that church, don't you? That faithful church. Oh, may we cry for it. May we plead with God that we remain faithful to Him. Because it's either faithfulness or persecution. It's one or the two. Through much tribulation, we'll be entering the kingdom of God. Stand for Christ in this pagan culture. Persevere, depend on Christ alone, who is our great strength. You know, in this final hymn that I chose tonight, it spoke about this fight that we are in. And it speaks of Satan, that his craft and power are great. and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. And then also it says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right men on our side, the man of God's own choosing. It's Christ alone. It's our little strength. It's our little faith in an all-powerful God, an all-sufficient God. If you stand on your own strength, Satan is having his day. All the religions of the earth, all the man-based religions, all the works-based programs of man, even in Christendom today, they count for nothing. Satan's not even worried. He's just letting them go because they're just doing his work. They're doing his will. They're doing his work and his will. But the battleground is for the true. The battleground is for the one who is holy and true. The one who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. The battleground is for truth and the one who is eternally true. So stand firm, dear church. Stand firm, brother and sister, young person, child. Stand true, for the reward is great. And so as we come to this final hymn, may those words speak to us. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. It's all of God. It's all of him. Amen.